did today for the first time in my life?
What?
At 27 years old, I trimmed my nose hairs for the first time.
I'm so sorry.
because, well, I've never really had to do it before, but they were like finally starting to poke out a little bit and they were like bothering me. And so I shaved them, tweezed them, and now my nose feels weird. It feels like colder and feel like I got better smell, and it feels like kind of scratchy where they all the it was a very weird experience for me. I was kind of excited and enthralled to do it, and then after I did it, I was kind of scratchy and
Yeah, that doesn't.
uncomfortable.
Wow. Well, congratulations on aging, I guess. Just wait till you're 28. It's gonna be so different.
All those things that your parents tell you or that you just witness as they get older, you're like, oh, that stuff's gonna suck, but that's never gonna happen to me. And then all of a sudden,
It
like it
does.
here, like I play a game of softball, I got a sore Achilles, I'm trimming my nose hairs, I wake up with back pain because I
Oh
sleep like a
man.
koala
Yeah, well,
bear.
you sleep like an infant. You sleep very weird. Yeah, I filed my taxes today. That was
Congrats.
great. Well, I
Grown
actually didn't
a
file
thing.
them. I just submitted all the paperwork for someone to do them. And today I just had a really full day and I'm pretty tired. I got my ass kicked at physical therapy. Just other geriatric things we do here on Roll the Credits. Yeah, it's been a whole day. A whole day. One of my roommates has COVID, so was running to the store and getting some groceries and dropping them outside his door.
That's
And
nice of you.
yeah, thanks. Made him lunch before going to physical therapy, took care of my friend's dog before going as well, and then picked my friend up for a doctor's appointment and drove him to his appointment. So I literally lived the life of a geriatric today and like kind of a mom.
Sometimes when you have like really productive days, I feel like I feel better.
Yeah,
If
I
that makes sense.
agree.
I think you're more tired. But like sometimes when I don't do anything, or like if I like my job entails just me sitting in front of a computer on my
Right.
phone, like and not really moving. Sometimes when I have like a long work day and then I'm too tired to go to the gym or like whatever, I feel way worse, like just
I
in
agree.
general, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. I think that
My God, what's happening over there?
I'm sorry. I'm moving a couple of things so that I can prop my leg up.
Gotcha.
So it's more comfortable for me. Geriatric things.
This I guess the theme of this is geriatric things for this episode of Roll the Credits. This is episode 86 of Roll the Credits. We're obviously going to be
Wow.
looking into Sandra Bullock in just a little bit, but I would be remiss, and we would be remiss, obviously, as a movie and TV podcast, to not talk about the biggest movie event of the year, which just happened this past Sunday. If you're listening to this podcast, I have to imagine you like cinema and Hollywood and TV and movies at least a little bit.
And award
So.
shows.
And award shows. I am a huge award show guy. I always have been. I think some people find it, kind of filled with vain and kind of looking at the elitist group of Hollywood people all dressed up in their, hundreds of thousands of dollar gowns and jewelry
Yeah.
and, with the, all of these things. But I love it. I always have. I always was. I don't know, just super enthralled by the people in Hollywood. So Oscars were this past Sunday. All of the biggest names. Well, there were a few names that I think I text you that were missing, but I think
Yeah.
it made sense because they weren't really having like Matthew McConaughey didn't have really anything out this year.
No.
Leo only had Don't Look Up out, and he knew obviously that wasn't going to win. Jennifer
Right.
Lawrence. There was a couple of names, but all things considered, a lot of big names that were there. Bradley Cooper, Zendaya. Will and Jada,
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock, but and then hosted by Amy Schumer, Wanda Sykes, and Regina Hall, who did an average job, I guess, is probably
Oh, they
the.
were kind of funny.
There were
I
parts that were
love Wanda
funny.
Sykes. I think she's great.
Was it you that told me she lives in Westchester?
That was not me. Does she live in Westchester?
Yeah, someone. I think actually it was my dad. Somebody told me that, but yeah, I guess she lives in
Wow.
Westchester.
Do you think maybe she's related to the people that we named And by we, I mean Westchester Nance.
Yes. So I looked it up and that, yeah, that's her building.
That's wild. I had no idea.
I have no idea. I feel like that would make sense though.
It would. Wait, so does she actually live in Westchester?
Yeah. I mean, that's, I didn't confirm it, but that's what my, if it wasn't you, it was my dad that told me that.
Well, it certainly was not me, so it was probably your dad.
But anyway, a lot of the biggest...
You're confusing me with your dad.
Sorry. A lot of the biggest names were there for a very big night. And I don't want to take too much time on this because it's what everybody's talking about, and I think it's such a shame. I think it takes away from a lot of really cool things that should have been talked about in this award circuit. But of course, everybody's talking about what is now called the slap. Chris Rock making a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith being in G.I. Jane 2 because Demi Moore played G.I. Jane 1 and was bald, and Jada deals and suffers from alopecia, which is a hair growing disease or
hair loss.
Yeah, so she has trouble growing her hair and she's been dealing with it publicly for a couple of years. Chris Rock made a joke about her starring in G.I. Jane 2. And then kind of all hell broke loose. I don't really think I need to just explain what happened at this point. You've had to have seen it or you're living under a rock. But Will Smith approached Chris Rock. I think everybody thought in that moment it was still a scripted thing. I know I did. And then he seemed to slap Chris Rock. And I still think a lot of people thought it was
a scripted thing. Except for the audience.
And the people that were there, and obviously from what a lot of us saw, broadcasts cut their audio, kind of froze. And then you're like, okay, what's going on? Then you see Lupita in the background. You see her face. You see Will Smith's face. You see Chris Rock stumbling over his words. And then you're like, oh my God, did that actually happen?
Yeah.
And then obviously all the videos of the uncensored and uncut stream come out. And... yeah, I mean, it's as real
and
as
it
can be.
Happened.
I can't see any way that's a staged event. Back and forth, apparently, Chris Rock and the Smiths have gone back and forth at award shows before.
They've had some beef in the past.
I think it was an ill-mannered joke. I don't actually think he meant it. And maybe he did. We'll never know. You could see in the moment. I've rewatched the video so many goddamn times because I still can't wrap my head around it that happened at the biggest event in Hollywood. But you could see Chris Rock contemplating war with his words. You could see if you watched, he's like, okay, I could. Okay. You know, he's obviously in shock, but he's because there's a lot of things that can be said about the Smith family that, you know, Jada has and hasn't talked about on her little Red Talk Table show. So I just wanted to talk about that briefly, but then I also wanted to shine some light on some really cool things that actually happened at the Oscars that nobody's talking about. So I wanted to get your opinion on what the craziness was.
My opinion is I feel bad for Serena and Venus and Richard Williams and the whole Williams family because Will Smith, made history with his performance in that. That was his first Oscar. That was an incredible movie and it was so well done, and honestly I think it was like the best movie that I've seen all year or like last year, and I just thought that it kind of took away from it, and I'm kind of bummed that it took away from it because it was an incredible movie. Should Will have done that? Nah. Do I understand why he did it? Absolutely. Is that how I would have handled it? No. But I'm not Will Smith. And I'm not Chris Rock. And, like, I get Chris's side. Like, he's making a joke. He's, you know, doing his thing. That's his job. He's a comedian. Comedians shouldn't get slapped for their jokes. But overall, I understand. And that's kind of my two cents. And then pre-recording, we were briefly discussing it. If this were a football game, for example, in my mind, this would be a penalty on the offense and a penalty on the defense, and they'd be offsetting fouls, and we would make our way to second down, and that's that. That's my opinion. Yes. What's yours?
I think I told you in pre-recording that I disagreed in that sentiment, but not too far off. I think my main takeaway is that the Oscar people and production, people who are in charge. I don't necessarily think they could have stopped it, because I can't imagine they thought that that's what Will Smith was going to do when he was walking up there. But I think they missed a chance to make a statement. I don't necessarily think that he should have his Oscar taken away, but I do not think he should have had the chance to stay at the venue. I do not think he should have had a chance to speak. I definitely do not think he should have had a standing ovation. I'm not here to debate right and wrong, who's more to blame.
I think they were both in the wrong, and
I think
two rights don't make a wrong, or two wrongs don't make a right. Excuse me.
I think from an optics standpoint, it looks really, really, really bad. You know, if you want to smack Chris Rock, it's going to cut to commercial in 30 seconds. I get it. Emotions kind of, and I just, yeah. I can't imagine that, I think it's just so, he's been through so much. His name, their name has been dragged through the mud for now years since the entanglement thing came out. And I think everything just piling up on it. He laughed originally. And I think
he saw Jada's reaction.
I think he saw that Jada didn't like it. And then I think has been through this thing where he was told on a national program, whatever you want to call it, that like he doesn't satisfy his wife sexually, that there was an entanglement, that, you know, she was so bored and so unhappy for so long. I think that piles up. I'm a man. I understand it. Like, your ego can only take so much, whether you're a Hollywood superstar or not. And probably looked over, saw that she was like, oh my God, like pissed and upset. And he wanted to protect her. I do not think that was the way to do it. I thought it was cowardly. Yeah. I thought it was childish. I thought it was immature. You're being looked up to by so many people. You just can't do it, in my opinion.
Yeah. So I want to add to that just a smidge. I think from my perspective, more of what I saw was Chris Rock took a jab at a black woman's hair. And that's something that is that black women have dealt with for centuries. You know, people coming up being like, hey, can I touch your hair? Just touching there, you know, just it's a thing. It's a thing. And Chris Rock also made a documentary on black hair, black women, I believe black women's hair. And I think that kind of rubbed people the wrong way too. And it was more seen as a disrespectful thing for a black man to call out a black woman in that sense. So I do believe part of it too is a cultural thing that we don't really understand, because that's not part of our culture, like you and me. But yeah, that was also something that I kind of took away from it as well. And again, whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is just speculation.
I just have to another thing to add to it is, as shitty as it is, as you mentioned, Will Smith was going to become the fifth male lead actor to win Oscar for, you know, lead performance as an African American. They're always, as shitty as it is, anyone is looking for an excuse for women, for minorities, to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. And it's Will Smith, an African American, Chris Rock, an African American, beating up on each other. Like,
exactly. And like, would this have been that talked about if it were two white dudes? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know.
I mean, we've never seen anything like this before.
Right. No. And I mean, like, when you think about it too, like, yeah. No, we haven't seen anything like that before.
I just don't think he should have had the platform to speak.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fair.
I just think.
I kind of think it was probably just pretty shocking to them, and they didn't know what to do either. I think no one really knew what to do, which is fair. That's.
He was also.
Fucking hate this word, but it's unprecedented. Yeah, he was embarrassed. You could tell.
Well, he was also very scary. Like, could you imagine as like a production or security guard or something in that moment being like, go tackle Will Smith off the stage? That was that sounds insane.
I'd say hard pass.
So like, I think like you said, it's a terrible word, but unprecedented in so many ways. but he played the victim card a lot, talked about being a vessel of love. And
yeah, I didn't love that he went for, well, so to me, his speech was an attempt at an apology, but it wasn't like a direct apology. Yeah, just, I think he needed to be a little bit more direct with his apology.
If he had the chance
in that moment, at least.
Yeah, which he did. And I'm really sorry. And, you know, he apologized to everybody but Chris Rock.
I know.
And like, even
I shouldn't be laughing. I shouldn't. But I just can't wrap my head around it. Just like you. I'm like, what? I don't understand.
Jim Carrey said it really well. And then we'll drop it because, I didn't want to spend too much time on it. But Jim Carrey said I would have sued him for $200 million the morning after. Because now that clip will be ubiquitous for both of them forever. And that's such a shame for Chris Rock because he was on the receiving end of it for a joke as a legendary comedian. Mm-hmm. That's really not fair, in my opinion. And obviously, you've already seen. I've seen memes on LinkedIn and my job. I mean, they're everywhere.
That's a little ridiculous.
So
keep that shit on, like, Twitter. I don't know.
It's like, oh, Monday morning smacking the face coffee or something, like, on LinkedIn. Like, those are the memes that you're seeing.
Yeah, that's a little ridiculous for
but LinkedIn. Yeah, either way, I think it's a shame because you can't take it back. If it's one thing, like, if he was just going to be screaming, you could get away with that. You know, I'm sure there's been other moments.
Yeah, for sure.
But you went up and you physically assaulted a man on national television that had a show of 20 million plus viewers around the world.
I'm going to give you a little hot take right here. Actually, it's a pretty hot take. Mm. It was a slap. Oh, like,
yeah.
I don't like, yeah, sure. I guess technically that's physically assaulting someone, but he hit him in a way that, like, he knew he wasn't going to hurt him.
He did it, like, to embarrass him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But assault's assault, Tina.
Yeah, but, like, what if I just smacked you across the face? Could I get arrested for assault? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I press charges. I mean, yeah. Chris said he's not going to.
Right, which, you know, more power to him. Good guy. Good guy, Chris.
He announced his 2022 comedic tour.
Yeah, you know, I know someone that actually has tickets to see him this weekend, and they got the tickets prior to all of this occurring, so.
Do you think he'll talk about it?
I don't know.
He hasn't said
anything.
I feel
like he kind of has to, statement.
There's been nothing.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Like I said, we took more time than I wanted, that's just because it's the
Pick
nature
number,
of what
Cal.
Has happened. Oh, wait, one thing before we do that. I want to shine some light on some really cool things that happened at the Oscars, which was Questlove.
Oh, hell yeah, Questlove.
Unfortunately, he was the award of when it all happened. Troy
How
Kotsur.
Philly.
Troy Kotsur becoming the first male deaf actor to win an Academy Award. His speech was my favorite of the night.
That's great.
I thought all of the original song performances were really good. And, you know, Dune wrapped up 6 awards, a lot of for production and technicalities. Coda took home Best Picture. I thought there was a lot of storylines.
I fell asleep during Dune.
Did you?
I did.
Wow.
I know.
Well, you've fallen asleep during multiple movies.
I have.
But I thought there was a lot to be talked about outside of that. And I thought there was a lot to be celebrated, mainly Troy Kotsur and Questlove.
Totally. And everyone that performed in Encanto, that was great too. I loved that movie. I'm not an animated movie person or really TV show person, but I fuck around with Pixar.
I know you do. And like I said, my goal next year, I'm a very big movie buff. You guys obviously know that, but I could do better at watching some movies.
Not a bigger movie buff than Fuzz. Go on.
I could do a better job at watching films outside of my comfort zone and things that are animated, or maybe I have to read subtitles, foreign films, things like that. So I'm gonna try my damnedest next year to take a look at all of the films that were nominated through whatever that may be. There are 53 different films this year, and try to watch every single one of them. When I took a list after I took a look at the list after I told you that, and then I was like, oh, I would never watch that movie. So it'll be hard, but I do want to do a better job, because if you look at the 10 Best Picture nominees, I think I only saw like 3 of them.
Yeah, I didn't see many of them.
So I would like to do a better job at that. Okay, that is the Oscars wrap up. I'm sure there will be jokes for years to come. I'll be very curious to see if it changes the way that hosts and presenters think about writing jokes before walking up on that stage. My guess is that Will Smith will never be allowed back at the Oscars. And I can't imagine anything like that ever happening again, but
if he were invited back, I do not believe they would allow that to happen. And I don't think he'd, try anything like that again.
I think it's also because he was so close to the stage.
Right. Had he been further back, he wouldn't have.
That stage was weird to me from the beginning. And then I was like, wow, this isn't even like a stage. It feels like it's just like right there. Like if it was the normal, like if you remember when McConaughey won his, like it's like a full on like.
Yeah,
stage.
Yeah.
If that was to happen, like I feel like Will Smith wouldn't have done it, or he would have been stopped before whatever happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
All right, pick a number.
11.
What do you care about the most? I don't really like that question, if I'm being honest.
Like, well, everyone's going to say, like, friends and family?
Yeah, and, like, Sonny.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It was friends, family, and Sonny.
Yeah.
Should I pick another one?
Yeah, let's do a different one.
9?
The last movie that made you cry.
Oh, that's a good one. Ties right in. It does. Last movie was Our Friend.
Oh, the last, so good.
Last TV show was the finale of Afterlife, which I actually had to walk away from the television screen because if I continued to watch it, I was going to like, I haven't like, when I cried with Our Friend, like there were tears like coming down my face, but with Afterlife, I was starting to sob and I had to walk away.
Oh no.
Because if I was stayed there, I don't know why, it just hit me very emotionally that day, which is why I've been begging you to try to finish it.
I will.
But yeah, those are the last two times.
The last movie that made me cry was, it honestly might have been King Richard. I get very emotional generally just watching movies, so like it's not hard to make me cry. Movie-wise, I don't think a TV show has recently made me cry, to be honest. So, I mean, maybe it'll be Afterlife next time we have this conversation.
It will be. I think outside of that, we've watched some pretty subpar TV shows, both of us, the last couple of months.
Yeah, I haven't watched that many great TV shows. A lot of the good ones that I watched were when we were off for a little bit. And I feel stupid recommending them now because, I mean, it's like Outer Banks and like Squid Game. Everyone's already fucking watched it. So there's like no point in me being like, oh, I recommend this.
I do think Dropout is inching towards a recommendation, though. Last two episodes have been very good. So I'll be interested to see how they wrap it up. But I'm going to try to watch We Worked as well as the Uber one. Although, again, neither of those got super stellar reviews.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we move on to the beautiful and wonderful Sandy?
Yes. Okay. I love her so much. Too. She's kind of like a mom cool aunt deal in my eyes. She's not fully cool aunt, but she's not fully mom.
She's
like a nice balance of the two. And I really like that. She just makes me feel good.
She reminds me of like she reminds me that she would be her character in The Blind Side in real life.
Yeah, definitely.
I know that's not fair to say because that's probably not how she is, but that's how I
Right. But she always plays somebody that's like super empathetic and understanding and kind, yet will stand up for herself and won't take shit from everybody. And you don't always understand why, but then once you do, you're like, oh man. Actually, you know what? Her movie, you know what? We're not, I'll wait. Because I don't know if you watched it or not, so I'm going to wait.
Her new one. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. My mom said it was
Unforgivable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that made me absolutely sob.
Oh, so that one.
Yeah, that's one that definitely made me cry.
Mm.
I watched that actually.
I figured you probably watched that after Richard. King Richard. Yeah,
I did. Sandra Bullock made me cry.
Yeah, she's probably made me cry too throughout her career.
The Proposal, excellent movie. All-time classic rom-com.
Mm, yeah, I agree.
Miss Congeniality, amazing.
She won an Oscar for The Blind Side. Yeah. Okay, well, who do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
I'll go first. Talk about her more and more. Okay. So I watched... Do you want to guess what movie I watched, by the way?
I think I know.
What movie do you think I watched?
You've been watching a lot of mainstream stuff, which has been bothering me a little bit. So if you're continuing the trend of recent mainstream movies that you somehow haven't watched, I'm sure you fucking watched Bird Box or something like that.
Oh, no, I didn't, actually. I've seen Bird Box.
Mm.
I watched Ocean's 8.
Yeah, or that was my other guess.
Well, it wasn't your first guess.
It's true.
So a little bit of surprise on my end. So for those of you that don't know, Ocean's 8 was made after the Ocean's 11, 12, 13. There was three, right? Was mm-hmm. there 14?
No.
Okay, great. Made after those movies, and this was kind of like a spin-off of it, if you will, or a prequel. No, I guess a prequel. Is it a prequel? You're looking at me like...
No, I don't. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just the female version of it, is it not?
In a sense, yes. Yes.
Because it's just like a badass female. Is that the one with Rihanna?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome. I loved it. It was a good movie. But it follows Debbie Ocean, who is Danny Ocean's sister from Ocean's 11, 12, and 13. And Debbie was in jail for 5 years, 8 months, and 12 days. And since she went to jail, she had been planning a heist. What happened was she went to jail because her ex-boyfriend sold her out. And she was like, what the fuck? So she's in jail. She had good behavior. She gets off and she's like, great, I'm gonna pull off this heist.
Mm-hmm.
And she pulls off this heist with her partner in crime, Lou, played by Kate Blanchett. Her friend Tammy, played by Sarah Paulson. Her friend Rose, played by Helena Bonham Carter. Her friend Amita, played by Mindy Kaling. And her friend Nineball, played by Rihanna. And yeah, and obviously she plays Debbie Ocean. So Debbie and Lou are really good friends, and they come together. They're like, all right, how are we going to do this? They have a plan. They have backup plan. They have it all figured out. And the movie is just essentially following them through this heist. And I loved it. It was women being badasses and doing cool shit and being smarter than men and outsmarting men. And frankly, that's one of my favorite things to watch women do because it's entertaining. Yeah. Like, you know, that's funny. And I don't hate men by any means, but generally speaking, I do kind of enjoy when, you know, women are outsmarting them. And I'm like, women.
You guys are smarter than us.
We are. We certainly are. And
okay, don't say certainly, okay?
You know, I'm just being honest. That's what we're here to do. We're here to be honest and transparent. And I'm just being honest with my take. Is that okay?
Go on.
Anyways, so they recruit a jeweler, a street con, a suburban mom, a hacker, and a fashion designer. And Anne Hathaway is also in this movie. And they essentially use her. She plays this big-time actress called named Daphne Kluger. Mm. And the heist is meant to happen to her while she's wearing a $150 million necklace from Cartier at the Met Gala.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right? So anyway, so that's the whole premise and basis of it all. Sandra Bullock in those kinds of movies, fucking fantastic. Cate Blanchett, fantastic. Anne Hathaway, amazing. Sarah Paulson, amazing. All of them, absolutely amazing. Rihanna, oh, she killed it. She absolutely killed it. Loved her. And yeah, that's my take on the movie. I'm not going to give away any more because you should watch it. It wasn't like the greatest movie of all time. You know, like it's a little cheesy, a little corny here and there. But I enjoyed it. I overall enjoyed it. IMDb gave it a 6.3. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 69%. And I took the side of Rotten Tomatoes this time and went with a 6.9. Doesn't hit that 7 threshold for me, but still worth a watch in my opinion.
Okay. Good review.
Thank you. So my question to you is, you're pulling off a heist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who, what kind of heist are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you stealing? How are you doing it? And who's helping you?
Well,
we're planning a heist right now here on Roll the Credits. So if anyone wants to join in, please DM us.
So what would I want to steal?
Yeah, what would you want to steal?
Who would be my team and how would I do it?
Yeah.
I'd be such a bad person to do this. None of my friends are helping me pull off a heist.
I'm imagining Ty trying to help you pull off a heist. Right?
My heist would be like getting me into that Vanity Fair Oscars party. That's what I would want to be doing.
Okay, okay. Well, you can do that too. You can like fake your way into a party. You just have like, to like essentially lie your way into something. Oh, or yeah. Like
that I can do. Well, okay. Maybe not the Vanity Fair party. I've crashed a few very normal weddings.
How many weddings have you crashed in total?
3.
Okay. That's a solid number. I've never crashed one. I kind of feel like I should.
So a lot of the girls, it's a tangent, so I apologize. But a lot of the girls have obviously continued to try to get me to not be single anymore. But as the only single one, I can do fun things that all the couples can't. So there's been like these TikTok trends of like single girls throughout the country looking for a wedding date. And they always send them to me to like, and they like filled out, they like have like a Google form and you like apply to do it. So they've been sending me a couple of those. And to me, that's like crashing a wedding because I obviously would know absolutely nobody, including my date. Mm-hmm. So I filled out a couple of forms that they've sent me.
Okay.
For summer weddings in like different states.
Get any responses?
No. No.
Okay.
But back to the heist. I think Bones would be a good person to have on the heist. He's very convincing. He's smarter than he looks. Yeah.
I feel like he could also fit like maybe through a vent.
Very true. Very true. But he's not very sturdy nor in shape. No. So he would not be doing any, he'd be the brains of the operation.
Okay. Okay.
Tyler would not be drafted. I would get KP for the bronze of the operation, you know, get some muscles behind me. Yeah. And then I would be one of those people that are like, the talkers, the negotiators, like the fake identity to get us in the door. Listen to Bones in my ear. Use KP if anything goes wrong. Okay. And then I would have someone.
Who's driving your getaway car?
Who's the best driver that I know? God, I don't think I have any good driver friends. I would actually, let me swap out. I will choose KP to be my driver because he could also be the bronze if there's anything goes wrong and take my brother as the real bronze.
Okay.
And muscles, and also because he's got actual tactical training and I think.
Yeah, that's actually a much better idea because though KP's muscles are a little bit bigger probably than Colin's, Colin has the training.
Agreed. So Colin's got the training. I think he – I don't know what he does for a living, but he does something weird. And so he knows what to do if anything goes wrong. And then I would be picking one of my girlfriends to dress up as my date because I think you always need a girl to
– Yeah, as a distraction.
Right. I didn't want to say it because that makes sense.
Well, if we're planning a heist, we understand it's a distraction and we understand how to fool society.
But they would be very smart in like helping fool.
Yeah.
To be fooled. So yeah, that would be my crew. And like I said, if I had to pick, I'd love to just be getting into a party. But if I'm trying to steal something, I would like to steal like a very expensive piece of jewelry.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to steal.
I don't want to rob a bank. I don't want to do anything. No, like art.
No, nothing
or anything.
Dramatic.
Something small that I can then get out of the country, sell it for a lot of money, and then live off of it forever.
Boom.
Boom.
Roll the credits heist. Let's go, baby.
Yeah. Is that similar to what you would do?
Yeah, pretty much. Jewelry. I don't know who I'd use for the muscle. I guess I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to do an all female team. I'm just going to pull it off like Ocean's 8, man.
Okay.
So I'm going to get my friend Angela to plan it all because she's good at that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I will get my friend Siani to be the talker because, everyone loves her. Like as soon as she starts speaking, people just listen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is fantastic. She's really fun to like, she's like one of my friends that I'll like bring to random parties and stuff because she's much better at just like socially interacting just with people than I am. And I'm like,
fits in immediately.
Yeah. Immediately fits in. It's perfect. She's an incredible human. So is Angela. But, I have two friends that are stupid jacked. one is a former professional basketball player and the other is a CrossFitting fiend, former athlete, superhuman that just likes to work out a lot. So I'm going to grab them just in case because they could easily snap somebody's neck, I think. That was a little aggressive of me. I'm sorry. But yeah, no, we're definitely stealing some jewelry. I don't know where we're doing it. I don't know how Angela's going to know how. And then I think I'm going to draft in my friend Liv to be the getaway driver because she's really good with directions.
There you go.
And is a decent driver.
So we got an all male and a female on my team and all females on your team.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Well, pulling off the heist. Let's do it.
If Roll the Credits doesn't pan out the way it is with us making so much money from it, then we could just, you know, start to go plan a heist and then we wouldn't, you know, do this anymore.
Yeah, that'd be wild. Could you imagine? We could do one final episode and it'd be about the heist. And we'd be like, just kidding at the end and that'd be it.
Agreed. Okay, so you are locking in Ocean's
Sunset.
8 at what?
A 6-9.
6-9. I would like to do that to all of the women in that cast. Sorry. Kidding. Joking.
But not really. If they give you permission.
Of course. I'm very gentleman type of fella. But it's not
people
one of my
consent.
It's not one of my go-to moves. Don't really remember last time I've done a 6.9 before.
Yeah, me either.
It's been a while.
I think it's more of a funny thing to talk about. Just like funny to laugh at a 6.9.
I feel like you're in a relationship if you're doing a 6.9.
Yeah, probably.
That's the last time I did a 6.9.
Okay.
She also did a 6.9, but without me while we were dating.
Word.
Yeah. Okay. So we will move on to my movie, which was Gravity. So as I mentioned.
Oh, you'd never seen it?
Never seen it. I knew she'd be known for it, as I said last week, but I never have seen it. Because it breaks a couple of my rules, which is it's only an hour and 31 minutes to be a dramatic action movie, whatever you want to call it. It is a very interesting film. So like I said, very short and you jump immediately into space. There's no backstories. There's no really anything kind of terms of like what you know what's going on. It's just you're dropped into space within 8 to 10 minutes. All shit goes wrong and that's it. There's only two characters in the whole entire film. It's Dr. Ryan Stone, played by Sandra Bullock, and Matt Kowalski, played by George Clooney.
What a beautiful, those two humans are just undeniably beautiful.
Very true.
Anyways,
very
go true. On.
So yeah, I mean, it's really a survival story of these two people in space that are up against what is described as debris flying at the speed of a bullet every 90 minutes in orbit, and finding a way to get back to Earth. It's not my favorite type of film. I can understand why people really enjoyed it, because it's got a great director attached to it. It's really well done. The effects were really good. But when you don't give me personally a backstory to the characters, you don't create too many connections in that sense. There's nobody down on Earth that is like a part of the storyline. It just becomes hard for me to really get attached to it. Having said that, both of them were very good in the film. It was really neat. It was a survival story, like I said, and that's kind of what it was all about. So I understand the high rewards and remarks for it. So IMDb gave it a 7.7. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 96%.
Oh, that's high.
So like I said, very, very well received. For me, it was a 7.0.
Okay.
I can't put it below that because I understand the type of movie that it is and the budget that they had and the film that they created. It's just a personal preference. It's like when Portnoy does his pizza reviews, he doesn't like Neapolitan pizzas, but he can respect the fact that it's a good Neapolitan pizza. It's just not for him. And it's not for him. For me, I love deep character storylines. I love connections. I just needed a little bit more. And that's what I knew going into it, being a 91, realistically being an 84 minute film. You know, you just don't have the time to do that. And that was the way that Alfonso wanted to take it. I can respect that. And for me, what I wanted to talk about was two things, space and the ocean. Both terrifying, both equally unexplored. Both equally dangerous, both equally scary, all of these things.
I'm going to counter that. I think the ocean's more dangerous, but go on.
My question is, if you were stuck in space, if you had the choice to be stuck in space or to be just – to be floating out in the orbit in space or to be stuck in the middle of the ocean with some supplies in each scenario to keep you alive for X amount of time –
if I'm stuck in the ocean, do I have a boat?
No. You have a life raft, like a life vest, and some sort of like buoy that you can hold on to, but not like a boat where you're comfortable. And if you're in space, you have an attachment where you have all the oxygen that you need and a few pasty bars of astronaut food. But that's it. You're just floating out in space and you're just floating out in the ocean.
I'm going to go ocean because it's more likely that I would get rescued. Is that allowed? Can I get rescued?
Yeah, get rescued. You're doing what you can to get rescued. In space, there's obviously so many.
Okay, yeah. So space I wouldn't know how to get myself rescued at all.
Right.
In any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And I have absolutely zero training on how to use any, like, a fucking astronaut suit. I don't know.
What? But, like, in that situation, you do know that stuff.
Oh, I do know that stuff. Well,
and in the ocean situation, you can like swim.
Great. I'm glad I can swim in
ocean. So, like in this movie, Dr. Ryan Stone, played by Sandra Bullock, she's had 6 months of training. She's not an astronaut. She's up there for like a specific project.
Okay, so I get 6 months of
training. You're like 6 months of training. You have like the same abilities that she has, because throughout the movie, you could tell that she doesn't really know what she's doing, but she's trying to figure it out.
I just feel like I know so little about space and understand so little about the atmosphere and stars and planets and all of that. I think I can't. I don't know. I think I could fare better in the ocean. And to be fair, I did just read a book called Deep. It was called Deep, actually. And it's about freediving and people who dive with no gear. They just hold their breath for like 15 minutes and go 300 feet underwater, and it's absolutely insane, and I can't even wrap my head around it. And there are certain areas where you can go and explore under, so NASA I believe owns it. There's like an underground station, essentially, or an underwater station. And it sort of has similar effects as what would happen to you in space, like where it makes you a little delirious and you can seem like kind of drunk and out of it. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty crazy. The ocean is nuts. That book was incredible. It's written by this journalist that works for NPR. And I think he's an NPR journalist. I know he's a journalist. But yeah, he just like researches topics and writes books about them and does the most insane things ever. It's so fucking cool. So if you're looking for a good book, I recommend Deep. But anyways, yeah, I'm gonna go ocean because I just read a book on it and I feel like if I had 6 months of training for that, he did it, so can I.
Hmm.
What about you?
The ocean is terrifying to me. I like it. I like going in it. I like jumping into the waves. But once I get past a certain point of like where I'm wading in the water and my feet really aren't close to touch, I really don't like it. So me imagining myself only having a life vest and a little buoy to hang on to, and then you're thinking of like in the middle of the fucking ocean at when it's pitch fucking black. You ever seen those videos on TikTok of guys that are out
terrifying.
When they're out, they're doing whatever they
are. I forgot that I'd have to be there at night.
And the big like oil rigs, and like they go outside and like they flash their flashlight and it like just disappears into the pure dark silence. I'd probably freak out.
Yeah, that is actually really terrifying too. I mean, either scenario is extremely terrifying. For sure. And
I would take space because I could end it a lot quicker. You just take your fucking helmet off, you're dead within 3 minutes. In space, you are in the ocean, you're either drowning. That sounds fucking terrible.
Doesn't it sound fucking terrible to suffocate to death?
Yeah, but drowning to me is a little bit worse. You're getting eaten by a shark. You're starving to death. You're dehydrated to death. I don't think that's how
aren't
that
goes. You dehydrated in space too? Like, I don't know. Well, yeah, but I'm getting rescued in the ocean. That's the thing. I'm getting rescued. You're not.
I could get rescued.
Who's going to rescue you in space?
Well, there's a lot of space stations like up there and around, and you could like find
them. How close are they to each other? Like, okay.
I don't know.
Well,
there's the ocean is 99% undiscovered.
Yeah, I know, but so much of that undiscovery is just so far down that like that's why it's 99% undiscovered. If I'm floating at the top of the ocean, I'm golden.
So you're wading in the pitch black water.
I am.
40 degrees.
I'm probably going to die of frostbite. Or not frostbite. The fuck's that called?
Hypothermia.
What is it called? Oh, hypothermia. Thank you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think we both agree they're equally terrifying situations.
They are.
But the scarier part to me is that, like, technically, me and you could get lost at sea. We could never get lost in space.
Right. I agree. I would like to throw in there that I did have to get search and rescued out of the Great Smoky Mountains. So I do like very, 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 very mildly understand that kind of fear. But I also was able to call for help and was rescued. So, but I definitely did not like being on the top of a mountain in the dark.
And imagine being in the pitch black dark in the water where, like, God forbid you just hear something. I'd fucking
lose. You're not really going to hear anything. You're just going to hear the ocean making sound.
What if you heard, like, a fucking shark?
Okay, well, that's not how sharks work.
Well, they could jump out of the water.
Yeah, but they use echolocation. Like, I don't know. Do you know anything about sharks?
Apparently not. I didn't know you were a shark expert.
I'm not a shark expert, but I just, like, read this book and sharks aren't that, like, yeah, sure, they can eat you, but, like, it's very rare. Like,
what about a killer whale? They fucking eat people.
Well, it depends on where you are in the ocean. They're not in all areas of the ocean.
I'm aware, but orcas are in a lot of them.
In a lot of the ocean.
Yeah, they are. And orcas are huge and fucking out to kill anything.
Okay. Well, I didn't read about orcas.
They hate our kind because of what we do to them at SeaWorld. The ocean terrifies me. Even if you get stung by a jellyfish, you could fucking...
Okay, but like jellyfish aren't usually floating at the top. Like, I'm at the top of the ocean. Like, I am up there. I am floating. I'm hanging on a buoy.
Yeah, but you're in the middle of the ocean.
I understand that. But, like, just because I'm in the middle of the ocean doesn't automatically mean all the sea creatures are at the surface.
And your foot is bleeding.
My foot is bleeding. Well, then fine. If my foot's bleeding, you know what I'm doing? I'm wrapping my legs around that fucking buoy that I'm hanging on to. And I am floating with the rest of my body laying in the water.
I just think you're underestimating the ocean in general. Have you, the Titanic, you know how many people died out there?
Yeah, I know. But like, do you know how uncommon that is? I am more likely to die just hanging out in the ocean, like with a 10-foot wave just like whapping me.
Yeah. And you're like, not going to die in space.
I got thrown by like a six. Oh my God. I got thrown by like a 6 to 8 foot wave in Hawaii. And that was terrifying. But the waves aren't breaking when you're out in the middle of the ocean like that. At least I don't think they are. Yeah, I've never been there. So.
Do you know how much strength it's going to take to like hold yourself up? And you're not able to drink the water.
I'm going to float.
Yeah, but like, I think you're really underestimating how hard it is to just float.
You're telling me, though, that I get this training. I get training.
6 months, not 6 years.
Yeah, this guy did it.
Oh, it's all about this fucking book.
It is. It is.
Oh, my God. No. Mm-mm.
Well, you didn't read the book, so you wouldn't fucking know.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you're a fucking ocean expert because you read an NPR journalist fucking deep book. I can't read it. I'm reading the Will Smith book right now, okay?
It's missing he needs a that few another
fucking
chapter to
chapters.
That.
Okay. We can agree that they're both terrifying situations. Yes?
Yeah, but it's more likely that I'm going to survive in the
Shut
ocean.
Shut up. No, it's not. In yes, space, you're going to survive. There's radio in space.
Well, there's people in the ocean.
Not in the deep part of the ocean. You got to be saved by like.
Yes, there are.
You save like a deep sea fisherman or like an oil rig or.
Exactly. Do you know how many rigs are just like passing around and like.
And God forbid.
Cruise ships.
God forbid a big cruise ship comes by, doesn't see you. You know what happens? Those waves accumulate and kill you because you would drown under them. Because that's how waves are created.
Well, I have a life jacket on, so I'll float to the top.
Oh, my God. Whatever. We're both dead in both situations.
We are.
Stamina to succeed in either of those situations.
No, we don't.
I've had enough of this. I am locking in a 7.0 gravity. Watch it if you want something cool to watch. Goodbye. Go tell your good news story of the week.
Ironically, my good news story of the week actually has to do with the Great Smoky Mountains. So I thought I'd tie it back into movies and TV with Swiss Family Robinson, which was a very popular show back in the day. It was a show, right? Or was that a movie?
I told you I'm done talking to you.
But anyways, so a new Tennessee resort is about to jump to the top of your destination list. They are creating 130 treehouses to be built over the next few years in the woods near Great Smoky Mountain National Park, which is going to be the largest treehouse resort on Earth. It's called a sanctuary treehouse resort, and the goal of it was to come up with something that was kind of cool. This family from Tennessee decided that when their children were all grown up, they would rent out their childhood tree fort because it was becoming sort of like a popular thing to go glamping, which for those of you who do not know the term glamping, do you know the term glamping?
Yeah, it's like luxurious camping.
Yeah, kind of. Like glamorous camping, but you know, it's not necessarily luxurious.
You stay in like a yurt.
Yeah, I've stayed in a yurt. And I had a sauna there. It was pretty
Glampers
dope.
Are losers. Okay.
You're a loser. I went camping too.
I went camping like a real man when I was growing up every year until I saw a bear that almost ate me, and I haven't gone since.
Hey, how close was that bear to you?
About 100 feet.
Okay.
I went up on the crest of a mountain hiking with my brother and my dad, saw the bear, looked at me. Cub was right behind him. They don't like when you get near their cub. And so I pushed my dad to the side and I ran down the mountain. And I said, I'm never going camping again. And I haven't.
Okay. Well, I've also camped, quote unquote, like a real man. So let me live.
Don't make this a sexist thing, okay?
I didn't make it a sexist thing.
You mentioned that quote because...
Oh my god, you came at my throat because I stayed in a yurt and then you said I camped like a real man. Well, so did I. I don't just glamp.
Can you imagine me camping with my dad and my brother? What do you think I did?
No.
What do you think they did?
I think they did everything and you just fucking watched them.
So they set up the tent and got all the firewood, started the fire. I ate s'mores. They did the cooking.
Checks out.
We all fished, but when
did
I caught...
Did you tell the story by the campfire, the stories? Were you the storyteller?
No, I usually drank a lot and they got mad at me.
Oh, okay.
And then we would go fishing, but if I caught a fish, I don't
like alcohol?
What?
Alcohol?
Like beers.
Okay.
You know,
I'm just imagining you to be like 8 years old in camping. Not...
Well, obviously, yeah. I mean, I think we started when I was like 11, but by the time, like we went every year, by the time I was like 16, 17, I got some beers.
Okay.
Then we went fishing, and whenever I caught a fish, I didn't want to touch the fish because it grossed me out, so.
Of course you didn't.
My brother would take the fish off the hook.
Wow. Imagine if you had been born like 200 years earlier, you'd be dead by now. Like, natural selection would have gotten you immediately.
Oh yeah, my brother was like really into hunting and I was like, I refuse to go hunting, so we never did.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't. I don't think I'd like hunting. I don't really want to shoot anything.
Me neither. Although I killed a rabbit once with my slingshot.
That's upsetting.
Sorry, go on.
Anyways, it's just like a glamping adventure in a treehouse. There's hammocks. They look really fucking cool. If you like the outdoors, but you don't want to get dirty, I'd recommend it.
This guy.
Hell yeah.
I would like to stay in a yurt one day. They seem cool.
They are cool. I can send you the link to the one that I stayed at. It's in Forks, Washington. It's where...
You got lost and rescued?
No, that was in the Great Smoky Mountains, which is where they're building these tree houses.
Oh.
So I guess I'll have to go back. Face my fears.
PTSD.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the wheel.
Let's go to the wheel.
You're still in it. It's 9-5 because you won last week. Mm-hmm. So you're still in it. Our wheel's getting small. Might have to start being that podcast that has returning guests because no actual real guests want to come on. All right. Let's see. Here we go. We got some big names on here, though.
And even when they see the DM, they don't want to come on.
But Matthew McConaughey is an angel for just seeing it. All right, we have another just stud of an actor. I will just say this one thing, and you will get it right away. It is Monica's from Armchair Expert's favorite actor in the world.
Matt Damon!
It is Mr. Matt Damon. All right, I get to go first because you went first last week for what he's known for. I have to imagine he's going to be on there for Good Will Hunting. I know I watched that. I'm going to say Good Will Hunting. The one of the Bournes. I don't know what else he's going to be on there for. I'm only locking those two in.
All right. Good Will Hunting, obviously. I'm going to go Bourne Identity, which is the first one. I'm going to go with... Oh my gosh. It's on the tip of my tongue. The Fighter.
Mm.
And there's one more thing I recently saw him in.
I don't even think he's in The Fighter.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Isn't it Christian Bale, Mark Wahlberg?
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Actually, I think you're right. I think it is. Hold on. He's not in that movie.
Okay, so you're
all right.
Are you locking in the same movies as me?
No, I'm thinking of one more, and
nothing.
The Italian Job.
Okay, let's see what he's
and
doing.
Wait.
Keep all right. I'm sorry.
And to loop it all back, Ocean's 11.
All right. We are all wrong outside of Good Will Hunting.
Right.
So it's a tie. Right. Good Will Hunting.
Another tie.
The Martian.
Oh, I should have guessed that one.
The Departed, which I would have never guessed.
Oh, shit. I should have guessed that.
I mean, he's... But, like, there's so many people in that I don't know. Yeah. And The Talented Mr. Ripley.
I actually did think of The Departed, and I was like, meh.
So it's still 9-5, and that was a pretty shitty showing for us, not going to lie.
That was. I think you should give me 1 point because I did think of The Departed, and then I unthought about it.
No. So he is filming in the new Oppenheimer movie. As a
hey.
All right. We will look into Matt Damon next week. I think that's it. Follow us along on social media. Listen to our podcast. Don't talk about the slap. And, yeah.
Share it with your friends. Tell them all.
Don't get stuck in the ocean. Get stuck in space.
Get stuck in the ocean.
Sorry, I'm not going to curse at you guys. All right, well, that will do it for Roll the Credits. That was the Sandra Bullock episode, and we are going to be looking into Mr. Matthew Damon next week. As always, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Tina.
And we'll catch you then on Wednesday morning.